listening to Everyday Engineering, the City of Madison's engineering podcast, where we talk about infrastructure. Complex topics explained simply. From the water that flows down your drain to the rain and snow that drains into the lakes. By way, the curbs and streets we design. City engineering touches your life in so many ways. Explained right now in Everyday Engineering. Extreme weather continues to challenge our environment right here in our community. But today we're reflecting and celebrating 5 years later after the 2018 floods. Here joining us to have this conversation to talk about a major funding announcement and also just a path toward improving our storm system is the person literally in the middle of it all, leading it all, is City of Madison Engineering Division Stormwater Principal Engineer Janet Schmidt.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is a jam-packed episode because we have some major funding, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But gosh, 5 years. Can you believe it's been 5 years since 2018?
It's gone really fast, but that is amazing.
A lot of work, too.
Yes, lots of work.
You know, I think a lot of people ask, you know, when we have these meetings and interviews and things like that, what have we been doing? So before we get into unpacking all of that, can you just kind of explain a little bit on what you do for anyone who doesn't know and how it intersects with flooding improvements?
Sure. So I am one of the principals for the sewer section, and I deal with the stormwater. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot. We do review for developments. We do street designs and utility designs. We do big major projects. My personal job is to help herd the cats, figure yes. out money needs, and make programming decisions on what kind of projects we're going to move forward on. So this all kind of ties into how we want to game plan our stormwater system, and a major component of that is the flooding. Mm-hmm. So we have flooding and stormwater quality, and how do we make that all work together with the amount of money that we have available mm-hmm. and make a big impact to the community.
Which is limited, which we've learned.
It's very limited.
And the needs are greater than the money that we have.
Much greater.
and the material and the project, and the projects are just so expensive for stormwater. Right. I think a lot of people are thinking, you know, okay, flood happened, I want answers now. And honestly, rightfully so. I mean, flooding is, it hits people at a different level, multiple levels, whether it be emotional, physical, financial, environmentally, everything.
Right.
So I guess the 2018 floods, 5 years ago now, feels like just yesterday, where we saw an incredible and historic amount of rain in the short amount of time. When we say that, which we do a lot in engineering, how much is a lot? It's a simple question, but how much is a lot when we're talking?
Yeah, so for those events, we talk about 100-year events. A lot is like 6 inches. That's a little over 6 inches is what we call a 100-year event.
Sure.
In some areas, it got over like 12 to 15 inches. Yeah. So this was like nothing that Madison had seen. Other communities have seen this, and it's catastrophic type damage. Mm-hmm. But Madison hasn't seen that, and it really was a test to our system.
Yes, in a lot of ways. Bring us back to that period of time. You know, we have photos that people have submitted and some videos and things like that. But when the storms were here, or the storm, the main one in August, but there was also one in June, like, what were you thinking when we were being rained on, poured on, that kind of time period? What were you thinking from a stormwater engineer perspective?
Yeah, it was very. There's a lot of emotions going in. So we already had a big event in June. And for reasons unknown, the west side always gets the short end of the stick. They've been hit multiple times. So we're mm-hmm. dealing with people already who are financial issues, you know, major damage to their homes or their businesses, emotional, they're angry. And then we're finally getting past that, and then boom, another big storm. And we knew that we were going to get rain. We had no idea it was going to be like this, because it was really, really varied across town. Like, some places had like 1 to 2 inches. Some places didn't even know it was raining. And then the other places just, you know, got inundated. And it was scary. I do remember sitting, we had a group meeting before, and the storm came in two waves in August. And we had one during the workday, and then people went home. And the roads were flooded, and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, I remember trying to get home on the Beltline, and the ramps were flooded. I couldn't do it. I had to turn around and find a different way. Mm-hmm. But then there was a lull, and then in the evening, mm-hmm. and people, you know, it's scary at night when this happens. You can't see what's going on. And then boom, and then, you know, I remember that the electricity went out. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions tied up to this. So on top of, like, trying to put your thinking cap on, like, boy, as a city employee, what are we going to do? You know, and then, like, having to go through it yourself. So mm-hmm. it was a very, very challenging time.
Yeah, I mean, and we know that there was a life lost in the flood, and we have been aware of that, obviously, throughout this whole process. And it really gives us a reminder that there's a humanness that crosses right. with the technical design chunk and really environment. What's wild to me is about the environment and these storms is the water doesn't stop. Like, you can't stop it.
Right.
Like, it will just flow. And like you said, like, everything, like, I think people, you know, oh, you know, turn around, don't drown, the saying, or you don't want to drive through the water and things like that. But you really, really do not want to drive through, especially, like, you look at night. It is scary.
It's scary. Yeah. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get caught up in, you know, a place where you're in water and there's, like, downed electricity or whatever. Or, you know, you could ruin your vehicle. Or, like you mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. we did have a fatality. That's, like, I'm not aware of that happening in Madison area before. Mm-mm. So it's not like some of these raging rivers that we hear about in the news. This is, mm-hmm. this is, you know,
It's real.
You know, I think it can happen, and it can happen.
And it did, and we've been busy since. So that's the why, right? That's the why. That's the why we do it. That's the why we've put extra resources. That's why we've been working literally nonstop. You've been very busy. It's been, I mean, and that's why, I mean, my position was created after, was because we needed a way to connect information more easily and more accessibly to the community. So a plug for anybody watching, so that we have a flooding website, and usually I say this at the end of the podcast, but in case you're not listening through the full thing, we have a flooding website, cityofmadison.com/flooding. We also have flood alerts, so when there is an event, we will be sending out all sorts of flooding information. So that can be, you know, road closures, road openings, maybe there's a sandbag site, anything we need to connect about on flooding. Make sure to sign up for those all on the webby site. But, you know, I think that's the whole thing about being prepared, right? So we want to be prepared when and if it rains hard again. And so that's one way anyone listening can. The city went into emergency mode during the event. Sandbag operations were underway. Lake levels were a point of contention. The urban flash flooding, you name it, it's all there. The worst, like, perfect storm all at once, it seemed like. It was just rain, or water, and then the system was just, like, totally oversaturated.
Yeah, so that was a little bit unique for these storms, too, because we already were going into high lake levels because we had the storm in June, and the water really never,
like, after
receded.
Like, two months, it doesn't
recede? It takes a long time to, you know, and they were, you know, mm-hmm. there's other flooding downstream that they had to make sure that they weren't flooding folks down in Stoughton and mm-hmm. along Lake Monona, and is a balancing act, and then coming in with a big storm. So the waters, after the flash flooding, it takes a couple days to fill up the lake. Mm-hmm. So we had to switch very quickly from emergency response from flash flooding to trying to be prepared, because we knew that the isthmus, if we got a big storm on, you know, when the water levels were really high, that could be catastrophic, because there's just no way for the water to go. I mean, it's already full.
Right. It's already full. Where does it go when a cup is full? It overflows. So,
right.
Yeah. What have we learned since then?
So much. We've learned so much. So I think the biggest thing is that fully understanding our system was critical. I mean, a lot of times we're very reactive. Now I think we can be proactive. So with our studies, we understand
the watershed studies.
Our watershed studies, yes. Mm-hmm. We understand where the flooding can occur, at what, you know, how much rain could trigger these flooding events. We are able to use that to send information to emergency services, to our operations folks. we can game plan our projects and just be smarter and more prepared. Mm-hmm. In addition, that information is available, like you said, on our website. So folks can know, you know, these are things, you know, if you're new to the area or you just haven't experienced those type of events, you know, it could be used for like, don't drive here because you know that the road is going to be flooded. Or how do I think about managing my own property or, mm-hmm. you know, where I live? It's just incredible information. And we've really put more information out there for folks for education. Going through all this, we realized that, you know, there's a lack of information out there. Like, how do you get in touch with insurance providers? What, mm-hmm. you know, what can I do about a sump pump or, you know, all these things. That's what are best practices so my house doesn't flood.
Yeah.
So we have learned a lot.
Yes. I mean, and we've done, you know, focus group walk and talks, out on property, meetings. If you want us to come out and see, you know, I mean, I feel like we went out on the focus groups. That was really eye-opening. You know, being out there and talking with people, and even year or 2 years or 3 years after, it is very emotional and rightfully so. But like, you go out there and people can show you. You know, it was up to here. You can still see the water line. You know, like there was different things here and there until you get out there. And I think that's one of the other things that I'm proud of our division is that we have incredibly brilliant engineers who can design behind a screen, but we also have human engineers who are out in the field talking with people and truly understanding what is going on. And you need that, right?
Right. Yeah. And those focus groups were amazing. And it was emotional. It was very challenging for people to come out that soon and talk about what they went through. But but it's helpful for us because there are things that we could share that could make a difference for them, mm-hmm. or maybe us just understanding how the system works where we didn't really understand that before. So mm-hmm. those were really valuable experiences.
Yes. You said the West Side got hit, and they continuously get hit for whatever reason. It just rains hard. It just does. The BRIC funding. Let's get to the BRIC funding, because this is really a major thing for especially the West Side. So that means, I mean, when I say BRIC funding, that means literally nothing to anyone outside of our engineering world. But we have basically, you know, a big chunk of money, millions of dollars coming from the federal government awarded to us after doing a lot of work and putting this plan together. Tell us a little bit about it. You know, what area is it? What is it?
So the BRIC funding is a FEMA grant that was awarded to the city. It's very competitive to get those funds, you know, think federal level and all the disasters you hear about. So getting federal funds mm-hmm. was amazing. So the area that this is going to serve is over off, it's on the West Side, of course, right? Because West Side gets more rain for some reason. It's over in the Old Sauk Trails Business Park, which mm-hmm. is over Beltline and Old Sauk Road area. So close to Middleton, and it's significant for us because that's on one of the most downstream portions of a major watershed that, as it's leaving Madison, it enters into Middleton. And Middleton's had severe damage in mm-hmm. that August 2018 storm as well. So making improvements in this area is key to allowing us to make improvements further upstream, which will help, you know, it's a catalyst for us to be able to do more.
Mm-hmm. I remember the images from like over by the Costco in that area.
Yes.
I mean, it was just really hard to see and really people couldn't get through and anything. So this is really gonna, and understanding that that's not just that spot, but it really impacts upstream. That's huge.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, we just kind of ripped through those questions. what does the funding, you know, as a whole, you know, when we see grants like this, because it's expensive, right? Stormwater.
Super expensive to do infrastructure, retrofits.
Yes. And what does that even mean for like retrofits? And what does this mean for our community when we get grants like this?
So this grant is for $6+ million, we're hoping. And to put it in perspective, our 5-year budget is probably like $4 to $5 million. So this is enough money for one project that would take us 5 years plus to scrape together. So it's a big project, and it's going to make a big difference, especially for, you know, there's clinics and buildings. There's so much damage in that area. And you know, it impacts the community. You know, we had healthcare facilities that were, you know, closed for over a year because they were just totally damaged, and, you know, people have to go and find a different place to. So that's a lot of money for us to try to put together at once. And it makes trying to launch big, significant projects very problematic. So getting this money to be able to do that was huge.
Huge.
Yes. And as mentioned before, retrofits. So retrofits are hard, right? You have all this infrastructure already in place. So in order to fix it, you have to go and remove it and work around all the other infrastructure. So you have underground utilities and streets and things that have to be torn apart and put back together to fix the problem. So it's very costly and disruptive to do that sort of stuff. So.
Wow. I mean, I think if you didn't understand the money, now you do. Because that, I mean, that's just absolutely huge. Also, this list of what we've done since is actually, like, it really puts it into perspective. So since the floods, we have updated the stormwater ordinance, which specifically impacts the development community.
Yes, newer development, redevelopment, yes.
Yes, yes. And we have a whole podcast episode on that, so you should listen. The watershed studies, we've done multiple on those, if you're unsure what those are. We've upgraded culverts, storm drains, and roads when being improved. So anytime we're ripping up a road, we try to make the most of it so that we're not super disruptive.
Think University Avenue or Atwood Avenue. If you folks have been over there, you see all the big pipe. That's us.
Everyone knows.
Yes.
Everyone knows. Everyone's feeling the crunch of construction on those ones. But yes, they're massive pipes.
Yes.
I mean, massive pipes. Yes. So major projects like that, taking advantage of the moment where we're ripping it up anyway. Let's put some big storm in there, storm pipe. I'm just going to rattle through these. McKenna Boulevard flood mitigation, Hawks Landing flood mitigation, Mendota Grassman Greenway, Lower Badger Mill Creek Pond. Obviously, the FEMA BRIC grant is huge. Swallowtail Pond enlargement, Atwood Avenue, University you just mentioned, Waits Circle, which is an incredible example of community letting us know.
Yes.
We are so appreciative to the folks on Waits Circle. Other street projects with larger pipes, Deerholt, Hammersley, Lake Mendota Drive, Davies Dempsey, just to name a few, and even coming this fall and further, Robin Greenway, Orchard Drive, Regent Street at Kenosha Culvert Replacement. I mean, that is so much.
Yes, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yes.
And that's sprinkled in with these massive watershed studies, which were almost done, well, we're like a couple years out from being completely
hopefully
done with the first reports.
Hopefully two more years and we'll have a good system map for and a game plan.
Yes, but we have, like, you know, a lot of them.
Yes, we do.
Like either done or almost started.
Correct. Yes.
Because right. So there's how many? 18?
There's 22.
22 in
all.
And
we got 18.
Okay. The 18 number kind of stuck with me on that one. But yeah, I mean, that's just so much work. You know, I think as we kind of wrap up here, anything you want people to know now that we're at this point, we're 5 years out, anything you want people to know or walk away from listening to this or watching this?
Yeah, certainly. There's probably two things. Well, maybe three. Get involved. So if this impacts you, be involved. We need feedback. It helps us. You can report flooding online. Mm-hmm. All that information is useful for us. It helps us in our design. It helps us plan.
Mm-hmm.
The information available online is enormous. If you're having issues or whatever, you can find so much information online now on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, be proactive if you're having issues. Be proactive. The city has money, but these projects are going to take us decades to do, so it's best to look after yourself and see what you can do so you don't get into that situation again, hopefully.
Sure. Anything else? covered it's, a lot. I mean, this is your world, Janet. So we're just trying to, we're thankful for everything you've done in helping your team accomplish all the goals. It's just amazing looking at the list, you know, as we were reflecting. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for listening and being here and tuning in today. If you have a question or a comment about anything we talked about, including that flooding website where you can report flooding, that's cityofmadison.com/flooding, because as always, we're a resource for you here every day in engineering.